Christmas again.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let Ethria prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Savior reigns, joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sound. No more let sin and sorrows grow. No more let sin and sorrows grow. Nor thorns infest the crown. He comes to make his blessings flow. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found. He rules the world. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness. Of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love.
Angels, we have a mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Glory in excelsis Deo. Glory in excelsis Deo.
Shepherds, why this jubilee?
Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous straits prolong? What the gladsome tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song? Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Christ the Lord, the newborn King.
Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Jesus, we thank you for your life. We celebrate that today, recognizing that that your life has changed history, Lord. Your humble birth has reshaped our lives. You stepped into our brokenness and you're renewing all things. And so we're grateful, Lord, today to sing about that, to sing the great story, to sing of the hope that we have in you. And we're grateful, Lord, to respond to you today. And we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. We're going to worship together still this morning, and give you the chance to give. It's one of the ways that we respond in worship is through the receiving of an offering. And we recognize that some of you may be new today, and we are by no means asking that you give, but giving our community the opportunity to respond in this way to who Christ is and what he's done. And we'll sing together. Ushers will receive the offering. We'll worship the Lord.
Asleep on the hay, the stars in the sky, The stars in the sky look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
Amen. So what's going to happen this morning is we're going to open up the scriptures together. Pastor Mike Self's going to lead us through that time. But what I want to invite you to do in like 5 seconds is to stand and greet each other. Say Merry Christmas to someone. Meet somebody new. If you go here and you notice that there's somebody new here, you should say hi to them. And one of our junior hires, Addison York, is going to come up and she's going to read the word to us, which is going to be great. So stand, if you will. And let's be a family together and meet somebody new.
Kes. Good job, everybody. Thank you for that warm welcome. Merry Christmas once again. And we're going to listen to Addison, who's going to read from us now from the Bible, from the Christmas story.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
Thanks, Addison. That was awesome. Good job. Whoops. That's what it's supposed to sound like. So if your job was to write the perfect Christmas song, I want you to think about it. What would you have to put in that song? This is a biblical Christmas song, all right? This is going to be a great Christmas song. What are you going to put in that song? Obviously, you're going to have to have Mary. Who was that? Jingle Bells? That comes later. That comes later. We're going to go back to the beginning here. That's an almost perfect Christmas song. We have to have Mary, and we have to have Jesus being born. So we're going to start there. We might want to talk about Bethlehem, which is where Christ was born, of course. I think we'd have to have angels in the song as well, and perhaps shepherds would make an appearance. But if we wanted to really capture things, we'd have to have more than that. We would also have to have darkness and light. We'd have to have light coming into the darkness. We'd have to capture the longing of broken humanity, of broken lives, of people who are longing for something more. We'd have to have hope in the song and salvation. And because Jesus came to save from sin, we might want to talk about what he's come to save us from, talk about sin and salvation. And then you might want to also add like a response. Like, so what are we supposed to do? How do we respond to all that? Now, if you could put all that in a Christmas song, that would be a great Christmas song. It would be awesome. But what if you had to do all that and your assignment was to put that into a children's Christmas song? That sort of raises the bar even a little bit further. But that's exactly what happened when a man named Phillips Brooks wrote O Little Town of Bethlehem. He was a pastor known as the Prince of Preachers. And in 1865, he traveled to Israel. He went to Jerusalem, and on Christmas Eve, he traveled by horseback from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, which you can easily do by horseback at night. And he did this, and it so moved his heart that when he got back, he wrote the lyrics to this great song, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And he went to his music director, and he said, I want you to write music for this, and I want it to be a children's song. And so together they wrote this song, O Little Town of Bethlehem. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Isn't that a great lyric? That's a great lyric. And it goes on from there. Now, if you know the song, sing along. If you don't know the song, sing anyway. Sing along, okay? This is not a solo, okay?
Sin and enter in, be born in. abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
So that is a great, great Christmas song. One of the things that I've loved about Christmas songs through the years is that so many of them are sung in a minor key. Have you ever noticed that? Music lovers, you know that so many of them are in a minor key. At least they start that way, but oftentimes they sort of go up to that major sound, which is so awesome. But they start here, they start minor. Because even in the song itself, even in the music itself, it's telling a story. It's telling us of the hurt and the longing, the trouble of our world. Almost every Christmas verse in the Bible begins in a minor key. It begins with something sad. And then it resolves to something major. Beautiful. Here's a great Christmas song. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch our such mean estate where ox and ass are feeding. Good Christians fear for sinners here. The silent world is weeping. Male's fear shall pierce him cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Man.
So bring him incense, gold, to own King of Kings, salvation brings, let loving heart enthroned him. Raise, raise the song on high, the virgin sings her love.
Did you hear it? Awesome. Could you stand and let's do one more song together? This is a Christmas song that we sing. I don't know if it was written that way, but we sing it at Christmas a lot, and it tells a Christmas story.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
To us as we sing these Christmas hymns, Lord, and we're reminded of the beautiful, beautiful truth of Christ at Christmas, Lord, the truth of the gospel. How amazing, Lord, and we worship you for it. And we ask, Lord, your blessing now, Lord, on each of our lives, on our families, Lord, as we listen to your word, speak to us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated, and Pastor Mike Self is going to come and share some thoughts with us this morning.
Thanks, Guy. Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. I was going to do my very best not to say good morning. That's what I wanted to say all day. No, not good morning, but Merry Christmas. It is so good to be here, so good to see you guys. And I want to extend a special welcome to all of our kids, because I know it's a little unusual for you guys to be in the service with us, but I'm so glad that you're here as well. All right, we'll clap for the kids. And I want to state something very, very obvious, okay? Today is a really big day. I mean, it's Christmas. Yes, it is a big day because it is Christmas. This is a day of celebration, and I love the fact that the world over right now, people are celebrating this very day, all over the world. Of course, not everybody is celebrating. And some that are celebrating aren't necessarily celebrating the fact that it's Jesus' birthday, but this is a day of celebration. And this morning when I woke up, this actually surprised me. I don't know why, but I was thinking about Joseph and Lena. Joseph and Lena are two sponsored kids through African New Life who live in Bujesera, Rwanda. And I was thinking about them, thinking they are celebrating this day in Rwanda. And I guarantee you, in their churches, there's a party going on. They know how to celebrate in Rwanda, all right? They're dancing right now. I love that. Okay, this is a day of celebration. I love Christmas, and I love the countdown to Christmas. Okay, the countdown to Christmas starts about 3 seconds after Halloween, all right? Thanksgiving now in our culture is a speed bump on the way to Christmas. And right after Halloween, you start hearing the music, all right, the Christmas music on the radio, which I know they start playing earlier and earlier every year, but I like that. Okay, it helps. I like seeing cars driving by with the Christmas tree on top. It's a reminder that this day is coming, because so much of what's happening is pointing to this day. Okay, and then there's the shopping. Okay, I love how they decorate Bridgeport Mall. I think it's beautiful. Okay, I like the sales, the giving and receiving of presents. That's great too. The Christmas cards start coming in the mail. I love that. Okay, it's a countdown. All of this is designed to count down to this very day. And then there are the Christmas movies. Okay, the same movies that we watch year after year after year. I'm a big movie person. I love movies, and I love Christmas movies. And I found a list. Okay, these are the top 5 highest grossing Christmas movies. Now, I'm not saying that they're the best, okay, or the most classic, but these are the Christmas movies that have made the most money. Anyone want to take a guess what number one is? It's not Elf. Elf is number 5, okay, but yeah, I have a feeling it's going to keep climbing. It's going to keep climbing. Number one, I love that movie, but it's not that. It's not on the top 5, unfortunately, Joshua. Number one is Home Alone, okay? Macaulay Culkin is like 56 years old now, and that movie is still making money, all right? Number two is How the Grinch Stole Christmas, all right? That's the Jim Carrey version, not the old classic version. Number three is The Polar Express, okay, which is fantastic. Number four, if the first one's going to make a lot of money, you know there'll be a sequel. Number four is actually Home Alone 2. And then number 5 is Elf, okay, which is my personal favorite on this list, okay? So we have movies, we have music, we have Christmas trees, Christmas lights, Christmas carols, Christmas cards, all of that pointing to this very day of celebration, okay? And what we're going to look at this morning is we're going to look at the very first people who got to celebrate this day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus, born of a virgin, born in a manger. Okay, we heard that part of the story. Addison did such a great job reading that just a few minutes ago. Now we're looking at the very first people who got to celebrate the first Christmas, all right? And we find that in the book of Luke, chapter 2, starting in verse 8. And what I want you to do is, I'm reading this, I want you to put yourself into the story, okay? Write yourself into the story. I want you to be there as I read this, okay? Luke 2, starting in verse 8. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you this is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Okay, we'll stop there for a minute. Can you picture that? Okay, you're one of the shepherds. You're there tending your sheep, just like you've done 100 times before. It's been very uneventful up until this night when an angel appears out of nowhere. Okay, the angel appears, and the result is great fear. Not just a little bit of fear, but great fear on behalf of the shepherds. And that's not uncommon. So often in Scripture, when we see an angel appear, people freak out. All right? It's not natural. It's not normal. It's a touch of the divine, and we and our brokenness, we can't comprehend that. So there's great fear among the shepherds. And I guarantee you that that angel does not look anything like the angel that is on top of our Christmas tree. Okay? The shepherds had reason to be fearful, but I love the response of the angel. The angel says this, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Okay, what was good news 2,000 years ago for these shepherds? It's good news for us today. We don't have to live in fear. I want to get real here for a minute. When I was little boy, I was scared of the dark, okay? Well, actually, that's not even entirely true. I was not scared of the dark. I was scared of what was in the dark, all right? Like most boys with overactive imaginations, I was convinced that there were monsters, all right? Monsters in the closet, monsters under my bed, monsters in the hallway. And the worst thing that could happen is if I had to go to the bathroom, like in the middle of the night, okay? I knew I was safe in my bed, all right? But not safe walking down that long hallway on the way to the bathroom. There's one night of the year where I was bold. I was courageous, okay? And it was Christmas, okay? I knew nothing was going to happen on Christmas. And I really took to heart what the angel said. The angel said, "Fear not." And I was not going to fear at 2 in the morning on the way to the bathroom, okay? And it was Christmas. I was bold. I was courageous. And actually, I walked all over that house. I remember doing this a couple different times, right up to the Christmas tree where my presents just happened to be, okay, at 2 in the morning. But I was only bold on those nights, only on Christmas, okay? The boldness, some more boldness came as I got older. But I recognize this, the world in which we live right now, it could be a little dark, it could be a little scary, but just like these angels, we have no reason to fear, all right? A Savior was born. Jesus, who loves us, who goes before us, he gives us incredible confidence. We can walk in a boldness when we walk in Christ. It's true of the shepherds, it's true of us today. Here's something else I really love too. I love that the angels appear to shepherds. Of all the people, they appear to shepherds, okay? They're powerless, not high up in the social status, okay? The angels did not appear to the rich and famous, did not appear to royalty, not to kings and queens and presidents and prime ministers. No, the angel appeared to the shepherds with this incredible news that a Savior was born. And I know this speaks to God's incredible humility. And I love that too. I want to look at Isaiah, because I think this really speaks to God's humility. This is Isaiah 57, verse 15. And this is what Isaiah says. He says, "For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy." Okay, now this is what God says. That's the buildup. Here's what God says. God says, "I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." Did you catch that? Our God, he dwells in the holy places, okay, those sacred places, but also with us. "I dwell in the high and the holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit." That speaks of God's great humility. This is the Christmas story. This is Christmas Day right here. God coming down to save us, sinful man, sinful women. We are powerless to do anything about our sin. And the Lord knows that. So he sends a Savior, his Son, who is born this day. And he walks with us, the contrite. Those of us who recognize our need for a Savior. Those of us who recognize we are powerless to do anything about our broken condition. We have a Savior. I heard this definition of spiritual maturity years ago. And this has really stuck with me. This is the definition I heard. Spiritual maturity is not sinning less, but it's increasingly becoming more aware of your sin and your constant need for a Savior. Have you heard that before? Maybe it's not sinning less, but it's becoming increasingly more aware of the sin in your life, the darkness of your own hearts, and your constant daily need for a Savior. We need a Savior to save us. We need a Savior to revive us, right? To speak into our lowly condition, to revive our spirit, to revive the heart of the contrite, to give us hope, to give us love and joy and peace. All those things that we want on Christmas, it comes through Jesus. To give our life meaning and purpose, we need a Savior. And where do you find such a Savior? Well, on this day, you would find him in a manger, okay? And his name is Jesus. All right, so let's look at the story. Let's continue. Verse 16. "And the shepherds went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them." All right, so today and moving into the new year, I want us to be more like Mary. I want us to be more like the shepherds. Look at verse 19. "Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." Okay, now think about what all that Mary has gone through. All right, from the time the angel first appeared to her and told her that she would be giving birth, all right, to the Savior of the world, that's pretty heavy, all right? And to have her betrothed say that he wants to secretly divorce her because she's found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit, that does not happen every day, all right? And now she had this long walk to go to the city of David, to go to Bethlehem, where she would give birth to her son, but not in a comfortable setting, but in a manger. And now the shepherds have gathered, okay, to celebrate that with her. No wonder she's treasuring that. What else would you do in that moment? But you would treasure it. You would soak it in. You would think about all that has happened, all that the Lord said was going to happen, all that's come to be. And in that moment, right then and there. Now, so often, though, I know for us in our culture, this time becomes so much about the giving and receiving of gifts. Okay, those are our earthly treasures, and those are great and they're fine. But we can fail to see what we should truly treasure. And that's Jesus, okay, the Savior, all right, the ultimate, ultimate gift. Jesus is worth treasuring. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Now, I want you to think about the word ponder. It's not a word that we use a lot, okay? Do you ponder? Are you a ponderer? It's not even a word, but do you ponder? I would like to be better at pondering. If you're thinking, okay, if you're pondering, you are thinking about something deeply. You're thinking about something very carefully. In order to do that, you have to slow down. Okay, when you slow down and you think deeply, you contemplate, you reflect, you mull over, you meditate, you dwell on, you chew on, you soak it in, you absorb it. Okay, that's what takes place when you are pondering something. All right, we all need to do a better job of pondering. I want to ask you, have you pondered this day? When was the last time you really pondered Christmas, pondered the significance, thought deeply about the significance of Christmas, that on this day, our Savior was born? That's powerful. It's so easy to lose sight of that, but to ponder that, think of the depth of that, what that means for us, our Savior is born on this day, okay? And I want you, too, to think about, ponder, think deeply about your relationship with our Savior, with Jesus. When was the last time you did that? To really give him glory, to give him honor, to thank him for the work that he's done in your life. Ponder that. Think deeply about that. And some of you today might not have a relationship with Jesus, all right? I'm going to ask you to ponder that. I would ask you to ask yourself, well, why? All right, think deeply. You know, and maybe you don't fully understand the Christmas story. Maybe you don't understand what's taking place here. But on this day, our Savior, Jesus Christ, was born. And he was born, all right, to be as an example to us. This is how we know how to live, how to love and serve other people. All right, but he was born so that one day he would die. He would pay the penalty for all of our sins, okay, for all of mankind. He died, all right, a horrible, gruesome death on the cross. That's Good Friday. But the good news is he doesn't stay dead. Okay, he conquers death, he rises from the grave, and that's what we celebrate on Easter. Okay, Jesus gets the best holidays. Okay, Christmas to Easter. If you believe that, that makes you a Christian. That makes you one of his children. That means you're a follower of his. And when you give your life in that way, when you receive that gift, the way we receive the gift of Jesus is by believing in it. And when we believe, we start walking with him, our world changes. It changes drastically. We have a whole new trajectory that we go on when we take those steps of faith. Now, there's a time I did not know Jesus, right? My world completely did a U-turn my sophomore year at the University of Texas, okay? That is when I came to know Jesus Christ. Now, up until that point, I had 20 Christmases under my belt, okay? 20 Christmases that had nothing to do with the birth of Jesus, all right? And I'll be honest, 20 Christmases, of course, I don't remember the earliest ones, but I know what they were about. They're all about the presents, all about the gifts, all about the presents. And in my family, we did presents well, all right? My mom, she is the ultimate gift giver, okay? It might be July, and you just might make an offhand comment that, oh, that's a cool watch. Boom, guaranteed you'll get that watch in your stocking on Christmas Day. All right, my mom always, the radar is on, all right, to figure out what you want for Christmas. Tradition in my house, on Christmas Eve, we would open up presents from our family. My mom, my dad, my grandparents would be over, aunts, uncles, cousins. We would open up all those presents on Christmas Eve. I loved it. Okay, I live for that. There would be so much wrapping paper, all right? You can get lost in the sea of wrapping paper. It was all about the presents, but that was only the beginning, okay? That was Christmas Eve. Christmas morning, we got all the presents from Santa Claus. So we got the Santa gifts. We got our stockings, okay? It was Christmas all over again. It was a presents, presents, presents. One Christmas over the break, my parents chose to paint the inside of our house. Okay, to this day, the smell of fresh paint is really powerful. It takes me back, all right, to Christmas and to presents. I smell fresh paint. I think of Evel Knievel and Star Wars action figures. Okay, that's my connection. It's very strong, all right? December 26th was an awful day, though. It was all over. It was 365 days until it's going to happen again. It's horribly, horribly depressing. Okay, those first 20 Christmases, they skyrocketed and they just like that. But something really changed on that 21st Christmas. Well, everything changed. Christmas took on a whole new meaning. And yes, we still exchanged gifts, and that was great and fine. But suddenly, Christmas was hope. Christmas was forgiveness. Christmas was love. It was a do-over. Christmas was a fresh start. Christmas was everything that I needed, that I didn't know that I needed, but I never got apart from Christ. Everything changed. Christmas means so much more now, this side of having entered into a relationship with him. That's what I want you to ponder. That's what I want you to think deeply about, the significance and meaning of Christmas in your own life. What does Christmas mean to you? So I want us to be like Mary. I want us to ponder. I want us to treasure. But also, I want us to be like the shepherds. Okay, I'm going to look at verse 16. And the shepherds went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Now, I always thought this was a little funny, okay? The angel shows up, and they are out of there. I don't know who's watching the sheep, okay? But it says they left with haste. And the Greek word for haste is spoudē, okay? Kind of a fun word to say, spoudē, all right? The shepherds left with great haste. They moved with purpose. They left with spoudē, okay? And I think we need to have a little more spoudē in our life, all right? When it comes to Christmas, and when you really understand Christmas, you can't help but have a little spoudē in you, okay? Because you move with purpose, all right? You move with meaning. Your life takes on a greater significance. You don't want to waste any time on the things of Christ. You want to move, and you want to move quickly. Like your children probably did this morning, all right, when they woke up. Spoudē, right on the way to the Christmas tree, all right, to find those gifts. We need more spoudē. And we understand Christmas, this certainly will energize us. In verse 20, this is the last verse that I want to look at. One more thing we can learn from the shepherds. After they see Jesus, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. So let's learn from the shepherds' examples. All right, today, but not just today, but today especially, let's praise God. Let's glorify God. Let's take that attitude, that mindset into the new year with us and make this year, 2017, the year of glorifying God in our words and our actions, how we live, how we carry ourselves. Okay, reflecting on all the goodness in our lives that we can pay or owe to this day right here. Okay, the day that Christ was born. So I want us to be like Mary. I want us to treasure. I want us to ponder. I want us to be like the shepherds. I want us to move with purpose. All right, a little spoudē in our step, okay? But also, I want us to glorify. I want us to praise God. And that's what we did in those Christmas songs that we sang. And we're going to do it once again. We have one more song. That's where we're going to close out our time. And as we do, reflect in all these things, the gift that is Christmas, not just for today, but for every day. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this day. We thank you, Jesus, for coming down from heaven, coming in such a lowly state to be with us. We can never thank you enough. But that's why we want to celebrate. That's why we want to praise you. That's why we want to glorify you. We want to ponder these things. We want to treasure these things, these moments that we have with you, to treasure the relationship. And not just on this day, not just Christmas, but every day. And I pray that we would take this with us into the new year and reflect on your goodness. And I pray that we would move with purpose, that we'd be motivated by the Christmas story, that you came down, that you loved us so well, and you have a plan for us. You give our lives hope and meaning and purpose. And I pray that we would walk with you, with spoudē in our step. Father, we love you so much. I'm so thankful I could celebrate this day with my friends, with my family, that we could worship you. We give you all the glory and praise. It's in Jesus' name, your name, that I pray. Amen.
All right, thanks, Mike. Would you stand and let us go out with joy and spend the rest of the day worshiping the Lord.
O come, all ye faithful. O come, all ye faithful. Joyful and triumphant. O come, ye, O come, ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of Israel.
God bless you guys. Thanks for coming to celebrate with us, and we pray that you have an amazing day for the rest of the day. See ya.
The boy's head in hand bare I bedecked with bays and rosemary. And I pray you, my masters, be merry, quid est est sin.